So we got two passages today. The first one I'll be reading is 2 Timothy 1:3 through 7. And it says, "I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." The second verse is 2 Timothy 2:1 through 13. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself."
This is the word of the Lord. Amen. And I just want to honor Deja this morning. She came in here as a freshman. Is that right, Deja?
Yes.
Before COVID, before the pandemic, or in the middle? During the middle of the pandemic. She might have been the only college student in the room, to be honest. And she's come and she's served. She's plugged in. She's led. She's a fantastic student, an incredible leader, and grateful for the legacy that you're continuing on campus. Appreciate you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, that it is alive, that it is active in our lives, and it produces fruit that will last forever. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know, could y'all feel just the reading of the word? There's power in that.
Yes.
And not just the reading of the word, but the reading of the word through a vessel who loves the word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deja. I grew up in a home that in the wintertime, we had a wood stove to kind of supplement the heat. Anybody else have a wood stove growing up? Like four of us? Five, okay, a few of us. So what a wood stove is just a box of metal, a metal box in your fireplace. And in the winter months, you would fill it full of wood and burn wood. And then at night, my dad would come in and he would stuff it as full as he could. There'd be some coals in the bottom. And he'd close the doors of the wood stove and then he'd twist the damper to give it just enough oxygen to slow burn all night for like 8 hours. And then he'd wake up about, I don't know, 6 a.m. He'd open it up and it would just be ashes. And he'd take out that wood poker and he'd start raking it and you'd see the coals start to emerge and then he'd blow on it. And what I thought was dead, right, went out, Dad. Oh boy, you know, you don't know nothing. Let me show you right there. Watch this. He'd blow on that thing. Oh, that ain't dead, it's alive, right? And so here's Paul. He said, look, something God's done in you by the power of the Holy Spirit might seem like it's dead. But if you'll stir it, if you'll draw near to God, if you'll fan into flame what God began in you, he'll work it up, praise the Lord, and it'll come to a fiery furnace again. But here's why this is so important. We're doing a series called Powerful Partnerships. And here it is. God's done a work in you, and you fan it, And I guarantee you, he'll be behind you blowing real hard, right? And so as you draw near to God, he's going to draw near to you. It's a partnership. It's a a team approach where God's coming with you to stir something in you. Now, I grew up playing sports. Anybody else play sports in here? Some sports players. It was funny about baseball. It's baseball season, praise God. If you see outside, it's baseball weather. It's beautiful out there. We've been winning some games, ECU, praise the Lord. Top 10 in the country. Just shout out to our team over here. We don't get to celebrate much, praise the Lord, but we can celebrate now. We're winning. And so we'd play baseball, and I played lots of different balls, some great teams, some not so good teams, some great coaches, some not good, so good coaches. But I played Legion ball, and what we would do, we did this during every game, no matter which age group. After our coach cussed us out, right, we'd get on our knees, and we'd say the Lord's Prayer. You know, he'd cuss us out. Football, too. We do that in football, don't we? He'd cuss us out. We'd get on our knees, our Father, who art in heaven, you know. Then we get up and he cusses out again and we go play. Just ritual, just Lord. But if you paid attention to what we're saying here, he said, look, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the heart of Jesus. Jesus prayed this prayer. Jesus said, God, we want to see what you're doing up there, the order, the beauty. We want it to break in down here. And I want you to partner with your people to see that happen. And that's why we're doing this series about powerful partnerships, because we want to push forward what God started in Jesus when he stepped into the earth, gave his life for us, filled us with his Spirit, that we might partner together to change the world. I'm here for that reason. Do you understand? There's still breath in my lungs because I want to see Jesus use me by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, to change the world. And when I'm gone, the job's over, right? We're here for a reason, amen? And so we want to come together with God to see his purposes in the earth. But here's the reality here, y'all. Here's the reality. This is a multi-generational project. It might not happen in your lifetime. What you're believing for, it didn't happen for Abraham. It didn't happen for Moses. It didn't happen for David. And so God uses a generational vision that it's going to happen from generation. It's going to be passed on. It's going to be passed along. And it's a generational project. That's why Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Y'all remember him saying that? One time he said, you got to have faith like a child. The other time he said this. He said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Why did he say that? Because you're going to be gone. And the kingdom on this side of heaven is going to be in their hands. And so young people, praise the Lord, college students, young adults, high school students, the kingdom of God is passing to you. I'm only going to be up here so long. And we're going to pass the baton to you. And so last week we talked about complementary partnerships that are not going to just take one type. It's not going to take one perspective. It's not going to take a man. It's going to take a man and a woman, right? To create legacy, to create kingdom advancement is going to take different giftings, different perspectives. It's going to take a diversity united together to bring forth the kingdom of God. That's what we talked about last week. And now this week, we're talking about legacy, partnerships of legacy or legacy partnerships. And here's my main idea this morning. God has entrusted us with the gospel to pass it down generationally. God has entrusted us to pass it down generation. Let's look here at 2 Timothy. I am reminded of your sincere faith. A faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. That's some good grandmother names, right? Lois and Eunice, praise the Lord. Praying grandmas right there. And now, I was watching a comedy routine last night. He said something. I've never seen anybody name this. And the guy in the front row, that's my name. So if your name is Lois and Eunice in here, I'm sorry. God bless you. You're probably young and fiery. All right. I am sure dwells in you also. And then again, 2 Timothy 2, 1. You then, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul writing to Timothy. Paul is passing. And I want you to see this. Is that grandmother Lois, praise the Lord. She passed her faith. This is a baton. She passed her faith to her daughter, Eunice, who passed her faith to Timothy, a sincere faith. And they've been passing it down. But that wasn't enough. Paul had to come in, and we think presumably that the dad was probably no longer on the scene because Paul comes by and takes Timothy, and he's like, I'm going to start taking him. He's on a missionary journey, goes through Lystra, sees Timothy, says, he's coming with me. And they're like, take him. And then he goes. And now he becomes this leader of the church, this man of faith, this great man. And there's this generation passed down. My great-grandmother was an evangelist. Amen. My great-grandfather was a Baptist preacher. Isn't that crazy? Passing the faith. Were they perfect? No. Did they pass the faith? I remember sitting down with my grandfather. He was a Gideon. Y'all know what a Gideon is? When you open the drawer at the hotel and there's a Bible, a Gideon did that. He put the Bible within reach. Sometimes they would walk around campus passing out New Testaments. But I remember sitting down with him, praying for his grandkids every day. Yeah. Legacy. Roy Lee Dameron, that was his name. Died with the tithe check in his pocket. Pushing, mowing the lawn, had a heart attack with his tithe check right here. Already written out. Ready to go. Love Jesus. Was he perfect? No. If y'all remember, his love language was pain. That's my grand. That same man. Isn't that? We all have a mixed testimony, don't we? We all have a mixed legacy. Love language, pain. Love God. Passing the baton along. Why am I saying? Do you encourage you? You're qualified, praise the Lord. Amen? And so we're passing the baton of his faith. Then my parents and passing it down to me. Were my parents perfect? No, but they stood on the shoulders of the generation before them and worked out the gospel to a greater degree. And I pray by the grace of God that my brothers and I are working out the gospel further than my parents did. And then my kids will stand on the shoulders of great men and women for generations and work out the gospel further in their lives. That's my hope, because they will hold the faith. We're passing it down. You might say, Blake, there's no faith legacy in my family. Praise, you're in the room, praise the Lord. You get to start something that for generations, look, my mom, my dad, they got saved in college and they lived for God. And now, four generations later, we're living for the Lord, amen? We're starting legacy. I'm up here today, not just because of the faith of my parents, but because the faith of a man to leave his comfortable home and move his family to this city to start a church right next to the campus, a city church with a heart for the campus. You're here as a college student today because a man and his wife and their friends, the Woodwards and Eddie Hilliard, and they moved here with a legacy of faith to believe God. The only reason there's an ENC at ECU is because someone before you said, I'm going to believe God, that God wants to do something at East Carolina University. And I wandered on campus and saw a young man who loved God, who was an RA and led Bible studies in his dorm and was bold for God, had a white brother with a flat top, was a family of pig farmers. Praise the Lord. But you know what? There was faith. And I saw it on him. It scared me, honestly. Stay away from that brother. There's something on him, you know. He looked strange, but there was faith on him. Praise God. And that legacy impacted me. And he passed me. He said, look, I want you to take over this small group. What? You've been faithful to read your Bible. You've been faithful to go through the one-to-one. You've been faithful to read the purple book and do that. I want you to be faithful with the small group. I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. Oh, you can do it. And then you're faithful with this campus ministry, faithful with this region, God passing the baton of faith along so that generations can be impacted. Does that make sense? Do y'all understand what Paul is sitting in a jail cell. Do you understand? He is sitting in a jail cell. A couple verses later, he says, my life is being poured out like a drink offering. I'm at the end of my life. And he's writing this letter to Timothy. He said, Timothy, don't let it die with you. Yeah. All that we've done, all that we've seen God do, raise the dead, heal the sick, bring together ethnicities that hate each other, build a community. Don't let it die. Pass it on. This is what he says. 2 Timothy 2:2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Four generations in this one verse. Paul to Timothy to faithful men to others also. Who are we talking about in here? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Paul. We're talking about Paul here. Paul had a pretty checkered past. Y'all got, anybody got a past that we don't maybe want everybody to know about? Anybody got a past? Just one brother in the back. Thank you for being honest. Let me help you. Every one of y'all. Every one. Okay? Here's Paul. He's got a past he doesn't want anyone to know about. He's a murderer. He's a zealot. So in love with his vision of the future that he'll kill to keep it from not happening. And then he meets Jesus. One of the greatest testimonies that the gospel and Jesus rose from the dead is the greatest persecutor of Jesus meets him in his bodily form and then gives his rest of his life for it. The Apostle Paul. Come on. But you know what, Paul? You know who laid the foundation in Paul's life? You know who laid Paul's foundations? Nope. Y'all don't even know. Ananias. Well, I didn't know. Yeah. You don't have to be big and bad to lay a foundation and leave a legacy, praise the Lord. How many Ananiases we got in here? No one may ever know, but you lay the foundation in someone like who will be great. Praise the Lord. And go lay your hands on Paul. He's blind. I ain't going to see him. Murderer. Yeah, go. I'll show you how much he's going to suffer for my name. Okay, if he's going to suffer, I'll go. I'm going to lay hands on him. Here's Ananias. He's going to lay Jesus. He lays his hands. He received the Spirit. Here's Ananias. Then Paul writes to Timothy. Here, we got any Timothys in the room? Well, we do have one. Timothy Shannon, right here, my brother. Timothy. Here's Timothy. For the rest of his life, that's why Paul writes this to him. God hadn't given you a spirit of fear, Timothy. Why do you think he wrote that to Timothy? He's scared, brother. Brother's scared. We're pretty sure his dad's not in the picture. Raised by a single mom and a grandmother. And yet here's Paul, takes him under his wing. Timothy. In fact, for the rest of his life, Paul would be writing letters. I think it was to Corinth. He's like, look, make sure Timothy doesn't have any reason to be afraid. Isn't that funny? I'm going to send this man of faith. And here's the reality that all of us got something. All of us got something that could derail us from what God wants us to do. But does that disqualify us from what God wants to do? To pass the baton, to pass the faith to the next generation. It doesn't. We're all a mixed bag, praise the Lord. Yeah. And if you're not, you're lying. See, that's why I love, I can tell, praise the Lord. Paul, Timothy, faithful men and women, anthropos. Men and women, faithful men and women to pass the baton of faith. I'm no Paul, okay? I'm no Timothy, okay? But can you be faithful? Yeah. Can you be faithful? You're in this verse. Yeah. That's, who am I talking to? You. I can be faithful. One who is faithful, Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. Here's what's interesting. We want the end goal. But we don't want to do the little things now to get there. Don't we? We want someone to drop a wad of cash out of the sky for us. But we don't haven't done the little things to earn our own finances, manage our own money, learn to save and invest, learn to live within our means. We just want money to fall from the sky. Give me a gift. And yet God said, if you'll be faithful with little, I'll give you more. You'll be faithful with that crummy job, I'll give you a better one. If stop complaining about that bad job, right? What's complaining do? Nothing except rot our souls. So if I'm faithful with this little job, and Lord, I don't want to be here. You know, I know you got better things for me, praise the Lord. But you'll be faithful here. Be faithful here. If you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. We want the much without the little. Many claim to have an unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? That's Proverbs 26. Just faithful. Faithful. You might be saying, Blake, I'm no Paul. I'm no Timothy. I'm not even faithful. Well, you're in this verse too. Others. You're the others. Praise God. God wants to give you the faith to pass down from generations. Paul to Timothy to faithful men to others. Because here's what I know about Jesus. If he'll get in there, he'll make you faithful. If you'll get in community, they ain't going to let you stay the way you are. I know not here anyway. Praise the Lord. That's why I showed up as a college student. I can hide at another place. I knew I could. The other place was bigger. It was more exciting, right? I knew if I could get there, I could hide. But if I got here, they're going to know my name. They're not going to let me stay the way I am. I better sign up here. I better be a part of this community. isn't that good? Yes. Let God do his work. So the who of this verse, the who of what God's passing down generationally is we need Paul's, we need Timothy's, we need faithful men, and we need others. The others aren't even probably in this room that God wants to hand his gospel to. What are we talking about? Not only have we talked about who, but now we're talking about what. What is passed on? Referring to Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I have suffered, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. What are we passing down? We're passing down a message. We're passing down a message. Gospel literally means good news. We're passing down a news story. It's been entrusted to us. I think it was in 2001, this elderly gentleman showed up at the Antiques Roadshow with this Navajo blanket. Right? And he had come, it was in Tucson, Arizona. The foster father of his grandmother gave it to her. She passed it down to her kids. And they passed it down to his kids. And they passed it down to him. And he said, I don't even know much about it. You know how much that thing is worth? It's a Navajo Indian blanket. $2 million. Just hiding in his attic. Do we realize the value of the Word of God planted in the human heart? Just sitting dusty on the shelf of our lives. Living our lives. Living our lives not knowing the value of what the gospel is. It will transform your life. I'm telling you right now, the power of the gospel and the Word of God in your heart will change you. It'll change generations after you. More powerful than an atom bomb is the Word of God. Every dominion that wanted to squish it couldn't do it. Rome tried to stamp it out. It flared up.
Yeah.
Every great nation said, if this gets out, it'll shift people's allegiance from a nationality or an ethnicity, and we'll lose power. And Jesus said, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. The Word of God is powerful. Do you know what's in your attic? The attic of your soul. Just resting? Just kind of put away to the side? Or is it at the heart of who you are? It's more powerful, y'all. It's been passed down. We have the Word of God because saints before us gave their lives. You have free access to communion today because the Reformer said every believer is a saint in God's sight. Do y'all realize that? We can come in this building because before us gave us freedom of religion. Praise the Lord. We can celebrate. Not everybody experiences that around the world. Why? Because people have passed down a legacy for His glory. Jesus isn't starting in human history in 2024. He lifts up kings and He puts them down for His name's sake and for His glory's sake, because He's a part of an eternal kingdom. And I don't care who's in the White House. I'm living by faith in an eternal kingdom. Look, God, I pray that the United States has not seen its greatest days. I do. I pray for that. But my faith isn't in that. My faith is in an eternal king. I pray that we can get rid of the things that are tearing us down. That the church wouldn't be a part of tearing it down, praise the Lord, but part of building it up. But if it doesn't, I'll serve Jesus. Because I have an eternal kingdom passed down to me for generations. The gospel of Jesus must be received, y'all. You don't conjure it up in your soul. You don't earn it. You don't work for this gospel. This gospel is news about what Jesus did. What did you have to do with Jesus dying on the cross? He give a survey? If I die, will you accept me? I'm going to go before you. Look, everybody in Rome, look, I'm about to go to the cross. Can I get a census? Can I get some kind of a survey? So I'll know 44% of people said they'll serve you if you die on the cross for their sins. He didn't care. No one knew what was going on. He did it anyway. He died for you without your foreknowledge. Understanding of what it was. Because He loves you. It's something that happened in human history. And He rose from the dead, proving He was the Son of God. As preached in my gospel, Paul said. It's received. We have to believe. We have to trust that what that man, that God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross was for you. If you trust that, it'll change your life forever. It'll shift history in your lineage forever. Do you understand that? It has to be received. It has to be experienced, though. It can't be your grandmother's faith. It can't be Lois's faith, y'all. It can't even be Eunice's faith. It's got to be your faith. That's why Paul said, when we laid our hands on you, Timothy, and the Spirit came on you, you didn't receive a spirit of fear, but of power. And look, you know when Timothy's reading that, he's like, oh, I remember. Woo! Yes, not of fear, but of power, love, and of self-control. Okay, look, there was an encounter with God. Look, let me help you. God has an encounter for you. This is not a mental faith, okay? Jesus died for my sins. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus rose from the dead. I'm a Christian. No, Jesus is alive and He wants to fill you with His Spirit. It's an experiential faith. It's a relationship. And it's an encounter with God. And then you walk with God every day of your life. He wants to speak to you. We've been talking about this. A powerful partnership. God put His Spirit inside of you. He talks to you. He convicts you of sin. Pray. I mean, I don't like it, but I need it. He convicts you of sin. He declares to you who you are in His Word and affirms it by the Spirit. He'll even reveal to you things that are coming. That's the words of Jesus, y'all. John 14 through 16, read it. He's partnering with us by the Spirit. So it's received, it's experienced, and then it's lived out. Guys, if the gospel doesn't change how we live, then we haven't met Jesus. If the gospel doesn't change us, then we've received a false gospel. If Jesus isn't the Lord of our life, and we've surrendered our control to him, then we haven't received the gospel of Jesus Christ, died for our sins, risen from the dead. It must be received. Finally, how do we pass it on? Proximity. Paul to Timothy, come with me, brother. It's got to be close. Do you understand? We're not just passing around information. We're passing along a faith that's changed us. Yeah. We're passing along a faith that is lived out of us. We're passing along the gospel worked out in our flesh, imperfectly. As we sin, we repent. As we offend, we reconcile. As we walk with God, he helps us walk out of where we were into where he's calling us to be. Amen? That's a process. But it's movement, praise the Lord. And we're imparting, we're giving that impartation. Honestly, it's just as much taught as it is called. It's Christ in you. It's an incarnational faith. It's not just a statement of faith. It's the statement of faith in your heart lived out with your person. We can't pass this along unless it's lived out. People got to see it. Thank you. I will. It was seeing my parents' faith that was genuine, imperfect as it was, but genuine. They love God. And it was getting around another student at ECU, Nick Jones, and with that flat top, and watching him live out his faith. I caught it. I didn't just learn it. It was showing up at his door, knocking late at night. It was getting around Pastor Mike and Mary Beth and seeing their marriage and seeing how they interacted with their kids. Imperfect as it was beautiful. And they never said, we got it all together. That's what was so beautiful about it. Because I knew families that said they had it all together, no, I knew they didn't. Right? But to see it worked out, beautiful. I was caught. I want to reproduce a family like this. We get that. It's caught, not just taught. And then Paul gives us a rapid fire here, three metaphors. The first is this. It's a soldier. No soldier wakes up and says, there's an enemy? Somebody shooting at us? There's some resistance? That's why you signed up. If it was going to be easy, everybody do it. We realize that there's a resistance to this, making disciples, passing lineage from one generation to another. There's this reality that is hard. And we got to be intentional. Then there was the athlete. It's going to be hard, not cutting corners. I used to run laps, right, in soccer. Now they don't make you run laps. I don't know why, but back then we had to run laps, praise the Lord. So you go run laps. And there was always someone. You run down to the corner. And you turn. And you run. There was always somebody running down like this. That's an oval, brother. That's not a rectangle. That thing's got a corner on it. But see, in discipleship, it's a long process. There's no cutting corners. There's no, this is the new way. Somebody tells you the new way to parent kids, this is a new way. Be very skeptical. Unless the new way sounds real old, they're probably wrong. Really, guys, we want novelty so bad. Oh, this is new? and it's easy? Oh, it must be great. False. If it's new and it's easy, it ain't going to help the next generation. It needs to be hard because life is hard. I mean, my grandparents, they knew, like, if they didn't pick on you and they didn't make you tough, you ain't going to make it because it's hard out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they did everything right. I'm just saying, look, the new way that's easy doesn't produce fruit. Give me 200 years of fruit. And I'm like, okay, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You've been trying this for 20 years? This has been out in the waters for 40 years? And then, oh, it's revolutionary, please. Let me wait. Does it pass down generationally? Okay, yeah, I'm going to follow that. Let's be naive. You can't cut corners to discipleship. I'm going to be a giant of the faith next year. Just calm down. It's going to take some time. Well, your growth track only lasts 4 weeks. Theirs lasts 5 years. Well, I'm sorry. We're here for the long haul. If you want it to be quick and done, you ain't going to be who God calls you to be. It's going to take some time. God's not in a hurry. Right? I mean, I think this is biblical. Tell me if I'm wrong. The athlete competes, and if he doesn't compete according to the rules, he ain't going to make it. The hardworking farmer. Y'all ever seen a retired farmer? Brother's worked hard every day of his life. To pass this faith along generationally, it's going to take hard work. It's going to take intentionality. It's going to take proximity. It's going to take care. It's going to take patience because it's going to take a long time. Pastor Mike, it took, what, a decade? Probably what I was hoping to take a year. How long did it take? A decade? 12 years? We want it fast. I'm going to tell you, you don't even get nuts off of a nut tree for like 40 years, y'all. There's certain fruit that God wants to produce in your life. It ain't corn. It ain't going to roll up today and be gone tomorrow. Now, there are fruits like that in your life. Praise God. God will give you that to keep you moving. You know? Here's a piece of corn. Here's a tomato. You know? But I want to produce those generational fruits. That takes time. I don't know if I want to sign up for this. Then you're hearing me correctly. Right? Because it takes time. I just don't know how to walk with Jesus any other way. There's no microwave Jesus. There's no microwave sanctification. There's no microwave discipleship generation after generation after generation. It takes time. Can't cut corners. Takes intentionality. Takes discomfort. No athlete, no soldier, no farmer. I was like, man, that was easy. It wasn't even hard. Didn't have to suffer at all. Every one of them's like, bro, if you want to be the best, if you want the crown, you beat your body and you make it your slave. This is hard. We must be on the wrong path. No, this is confirmation. You are on the right path. Amen. We just want it easy, don't we? All right. What are we saying this morning as I close? I want to invite you. I want to invite you in to be enlisted for the purposes of God. That what God's doing in you, it's not just about you. It's about the Timothys and the faithful men and the others also. If you're on campus, let me encourage you. It's not just about your 4 years making it. I made it with my faith. Look, you're here because someone before you said, it's not going to be just about my school. I want to make sure that the gospel is planted firmly in this university so that the freshmen coming next year will have a community of faith to flourish in. It's about the next generation. It's about high school students. That what is God doing at Rose and Conley and South Central and JP2? And CCS, and what is God doing in all these Oakwood and all these schools? Is it going to continue after I'm gone? Maybe I could reach down and find a Timothy or a faithful man or woman spend some time with them and plant the gospel. It's about generations. And these generations aren't just 40-year generations. Sometimes they're on campus. Sometimes they're in your school. I want to invite you to enlist. You know, Blake, I don't even know what you're talking about or where to start, but sign me up. Whatever you're saying, God's stirring something in me, and I need some help to do what you're talking about. Well, we provide a growth track to help you grow, to help you transfer what God's done in you to the next generation. We have victory weekends. We actually have a disciple step today that starts today for 3 weeks, right after the service. We got food for you. Devon's going to teach. What is that going to do? It's going to help you see what it looks like to follow Jesus in 2024. Because last time I checked, Jesus wasn't here. He's not here. We can't follow him in person. So how do we do it, right? We need training to do that. We've got a leadership series starting in May. Josh Lovett's going to teach it before church at 8:30. And anybody who wants to come can come. But what does it look like to have spiritual formation and discipleship in a postmodern culture? How do we see how the culture is trying to form us away from God and hear the narratives and discern them and then help the next generation see the lies, weed through them so that they can flourish? That takes training, y'all. You're going to have to get around somebody teaching you to understand the world and the gospel in it. Okay? We want to invite, and look, if you're a high school student and you love God and you're like, I want to be a leader, show up. Ain't nobody going to send you away. You might be the best student in there, praise the Lord. Well, that's for the other people. Paul, Timothy, faithful others. The kingdom belongs to such as you. Get trained. I remember as a college student, we had class at 2 o'clock, didn't we, Pastor Mike? So we go to church, we go eat lunch, we come back for 2 hours from 2 to 4, and we just get in the Word. Teach me about the Bible. Help me understand how to live. I just wanted all of it. Oh God, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for these folks in here. If you're in here this morning, and you're saying, Blake, I want to follow Jesus with my life. I see what he's done for me. I want to commit to following Jesus with my life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand high. Raise it high, unashamed. Amen. Anybody else? Keep it up. Amen. Put your hand down. If you raise your hand, I want you to pray this with me. Say, King Jesus, I surrender to you with my whole life. I don't know what all that means yet, but I'm ready to follow. Have your way in me. Be my King and my God. In Jesus' name, amen.